Okay, at 7:07, we'll call the Town Discovery Bay General Community Service District General Meeting. Can I have a, can I have Director Porter lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, with that, I'll turn it over to Mike for...
roll call.
Oh, no, we're going to do the oath of office first.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like new members Callahan and Graham to come down and take the oath of office, please. And we'll stand right over here. The photo op. Maybe stand a little further apart. Okay.
Can you just give me a second, Mike, just to make sure that they're right?
Okay. Please raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Karen Gilliam.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
The Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California. That I take this obligation freely. Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. And that I will well and faithfully. Discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Congratulations. Thank you.
Yay, congratulations.
Congratulations, new directors. With that, can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. With that, we're going to do a little recognition ceremony here. If I could get former President Bill Pease up to the podium. We have several gifts commemorating your time on the board. First, I want to thank you as Director President for your leadership. So I got to spend some time watching you and leading the group. So I want to thank you for the mentorship I received from that. And congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Does any of the members of the board wish to say anything to Director Pease?
I was going to say something to both the directors that I want to thank you both for your service. Much appreciated. You gave a lot to your community, and I think you should be commended for that. Thank you very much.
I also agree. I want to say thank you. I think you've done an awesome job in serving our community. It is definitely one that's done with heart and can at times be very thankless, and you can definitely see your passion and you led with that. So I say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere. Okay, let the bill come up as well. Director Mayor, we also have a little plaque commemorating your time with the board and the appreciation that the town has, as well as I have as well.
You don't have to share.
You don't get anything.
You got it on odd days.
I got the right names on there.
Yeah, I'm sure they match.
Yep. Okay, good.
Fingerprints as well.
treated us on a day-to-day basis was outstanding. So thank you very much on behalf of all of us. We appreciate it.
Well, I would like to say it's been an honor and a privilege to have served the town of Discovery Bay community. We've made a lot of progress in the last 8 years. There's a lot of things that procedurally that we've brought into the 21st century. There's a lot of CIP programs that have been approved, and there's going to take a lot of effort to come up to speed for the new board members in order to make sure that you follow the money. And that's the biggest job of an elected official, is kind of watch the money. I'm very humbled by the acknowledgement. And I think staff also, if I could say that I think the staff during the last 4 to 5 years has come up another level also, thanks to Mr. Davies and his professional leadership. If there's ever a thought process, it's done just passing this along to any of the board members about something that you're going to have to vote on, whatever, you need to make sure that you're discussing things with Mr. Davies. He'll guide you in the right direction and trust the staff's input. You can always question, but trust the input that you get. So, thank you very much, and I wish you the best. You've been handed a set of keys to a brand new car.
Bill, I hope both of you guys stay very active, and please, Bill, I know you have to make some comments as well.
I'll be brief. He's the kind of president, so he talks a lot. Congratulations, Michael, and Carolyn. It's great on the election. It was good. It was good. Good luck to you. And I want to wish everybody at the board just good luck, because your luck is going to be our good luck too as residents. I especially want to thank Mike Davies. 4 years experience now. You've done a great job. I think I said this to him numerous times, that he would be known as the best general manager the town has seen today. And that is not to take anything away from those that ran before. And I truly believe that is true. But just as important, thank your staff, your entire staff. It's been a joy over the last 4 years. Every single person in your staff is just superb. And all of the partners that we have, just wonderful. You're going to have a good time.
Thank you.
Well, we hope both of the bills stay involved, and we'll see you on the other end of the telecom.
There may be, once we get COVID free, we may be in the building on occasion.
You're always welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you on the golf course.
Okay, now that we got some procedural stuff out of the way, now is actually the time for public comments. Is there any member of the public that wishes to address the board on any matter that is not on the agenda? Please feel free.
Chair, we're not seeing anybody make any mention.
Okay, with that then, we will close public comments unless someone chimes in last minute. We'll go to item D, consent calendar. Are there any items that the board wishes to remove from the consent calendar, or pull from the consent calendar?
Move to accept.
Hearing none, actually the staff has asked me to ask that we remove item 5, and we'll pull that for temporarily.
Then I would move to approve 1 through 4.
I second.
Roll call vote.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gouteau?
Aye. Motion passes. With that, I'll open up to staff to address item 5.
Okay, I'll bring our finance director up, please. We're going to make a modification.
We request that we approve the resolution 2020-2026 with the following language change on item number 2. All checks, warrants, drafts, or other orders of payment of money, notes, or other evidences of indebtedness issued in the name of or payable to the district shall be signed or endorsed as provided in the bylaw.
Does anyone have any clarifying questions? Do we have any public comments? All right, hearing none. Do we have a motion?
A motion to accept number 5 as staff presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion passes. We'll go to agenda item E, presentations. Viola. Hey, Jerry.
Hello, sir. How are you? Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Jerry.
And welcome. Really quick. We're going to continue as in November 2020. We have a total of 4,113 days of operations with no recordable incidents for almost 198,544 hours of operations. The next slide is just showing you the monthly submittal documentation that we do to the California State. That's pretty common. There's sometimes only the 6 months, like around June, that we have to do an extra submittal of documentation. But pretty much the sum of the three documents. The next slide is just showing you the water wells that are active at this particular time, having 5 BS standby. Well number 1, 2, and 6 are going to the water plant of Willow. Well 4 and 7 are going to the Newport water plant. Right below, you're gonna see the water production for this month was a total of 77.4 million gallons. The next slide is just showing you that out of those 77.4, we pulled a total of 16 BACTIV samples all around Discovery Bay, and they all were negative. The next slide is just the November lab data. The one that we were always concerned was the one at the bottom, the last one, that is a 2,400. At this time, we have an average yearly of 23.78. And 2 days ago, I received the conductivity result from the lab, and it's in the 2,300, so I think that we're going to be fine and right on the 2,400 for this year. The next slide is just showing you that we didn't have no exceedances, anything in the wastewater treatment plant, and we still have a total of 15 lift stations in action. Right there is the terminology for you guys to start getting familiar. And if you have any questions, I will be able to, before I present something to the board, kind of give you a heads up. On December 7 at 9:15 a.m., Viola received a call in regards to manhole. The manhole is part of the collection department that is located in... It's located over there in Village 4, in Pescadero, on the street of Pescadero, manhole 4068. Water was coming out, water from the sewage system, from the collection system was coming out. Immediately by 9:30, Viola team was already in the location. By 30 minutes later, by 9:45, we already protected all the drain systems to avoid the water going to the storm drains. Then we located another manhole, which is 4042, which is located on Monticello Street. Then we found the blockage in manhole 4040, which is right in the middle, close to the lake. But at that time, we started working into the manhole. We noticed that there was a construction debris left in the manhole that has been there for too many years. We finally were able to remove it, work on it, we unplugged it, and everything just went back to normal. All the requirements for the were reported to the state of California. I sent in a validation. I am just waiting for their response. Signs were posted on the lake and also in the area where the wastewater was introduced for the storm drains. I'm just waiting for a call from the state for me to give me a green light to remove them. The total spill was a total of about 468 gallons. Out of those 468 gallons, only 120 went into the storm drain. That was because of the quick reaction of Viola Data protecting those storm drains. So pretty much 360 gallons were recovered or were evaporated by nature because it was kind of sunny day. So in, right after that, we went into a cleanup. We sprayed a little happy chloride, and then we washed the street. Water went into the drain. But I already talked to the state, and that was acceptable for them, that portion. There will be more information to follow up after that. Any questions?
Not for me.
So it sounds like the problem, because that's that Pescadero, that section is the most recent development in Discovery Bay. So do you think that it was an existing problem from the builder and it just took over time, enough accumulation, and finally came to a head?
For the size that we found and the debris, at the mouth of the debris found it, I think it was left in there. Somebody just dumped it. I know right around Pescadero, I live around that area, I know there is a little bit of construction. We already talked about it, and the team has been going, and we're going to be start putting eyes into those manholes, making sure that the construction company, the constructors that are right there at this particular time, don't do the same thing that happened in the past.
I don't have any questions. I actually had the opportunity to go over and meet with Jared, and he showed me the debris, and it's a pretty big hunk of stuff.
I don't know if you can answer this question or not, but how do we ensure that as they're doing construction for other things that this doesn't happen again? Are we inspecting those manholes before the developers are leaving? What are some ways to prevent that from happening again?
In the past, what I have seen, ma'am, is that they have inspectors. And the inspectors, after the construction, the inspectors are supposed to sweep the whole area. And that is one of their points of inspection, manhole, making sure that they don't put any debris or leftover something that is not, you know, that is supposed to be disposed of.
Yeah.
So there's inspectors that actually are contracted to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Is there any public comments?
I'd just like to make a comment about, I don't know, is Aaron going to speak later on tonight? Mike?
Aaron?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think our engineers are going to speak tonight.
Well, I just want to say that we had a water break over at Harbor Bay on Sunday, I believe it was, of last week, and I want to just commend Aaron, and Bailey showed up, but I commend Aaron for walking us our landscape. We called our landscapers in right away. It was an irrigation pipe, but it was putting out... It was a 3-inch pipe, I think.
Yeah.
It was putting out a lot of water. It displaced a lot of dirt, and it was flooding underneath some homes. And Aaron talked to our landscaper through it, got the valve turned off, and I just want to thank you for your quick response, and Mike, for you getting involved in that. And we got that thing handled, and it was repaired by Monday afternoon. So thank you for that.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, moving on, then we'll go to a presentation regarding the urban water management staff.
Is Engineer Cho on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and please proceed with the presentation.
Okay, thank you very much. Board members, thank you for having me tonight. My name is Justin Cho. I'm with the company Ludor from Scamini Consulting Engineers. For those who don't know, we've been working with the district and staff for a long time on water supply and treatment in the groundwater supply for the district. I'm going to be presenting the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. Let me know if my phone reception at all kind of dips out or anything like that. Ideally, I'd like to, you know, be face-to-face and presenting that way. It's much better and clear, and I can see and make sure people are hearing me. So just interrupt me and let me know. Also, just if I may briefly just congratulate the new board members and welcome them, and as well say thank you to Bill Pease and Bill Mayer as well for their tremendous service. It has been a pleasure working with them, and I look forward to working with the board and the staff to continue to provide the excellent service that we do to the community. So in terms of this presentation, I'm going to be starting on, for those who might be online, I'm on page 20 of the agenda packet, which is where the staff report for the presentation of the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. And I'm going to skip straight to the slides, which is probably what the board members have up on their screen. And the cover slide is on page 22 of the PDF. And I'm going to just be referencing the page numbers of the slides since I don't have a digital control over the screen. I'm on page 1 of the slide, which says Town of Discovery Bay, overview of the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and Water Shortage Contingency Plan. So now I'm going to move to slide 2. And on slide 2, the topics we're going to cover is the overview of the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and an overview of the Water Shortage Contingency Plan and the schedule that the staff has developed for adopting both of these plans. Now I'm going to move to slide 3. So the overview of the Urban Water Management Plan, it is a regulatory document required by the California Water Code applying to customers, suppliers that have customers that exceed 3,000 or supplying more than 3,000 acre feet per year. And it is required to be prepared and submitted to the Department of Water Resources every 5 years. So on these 5-year cycles, the Department of Water Resources puts together guidelines and requirements for preparing the urban water plan to comply with the California Water Code, and they update those every time. There are new requirements in the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan cycle that I'll briefly cover tonight. So I'm going to slide 4. What this document is, the purpose of this document, is driven by the state, and it is required, but the purpose of it is to provide long-term planning for the water agency themselves and for the state. And it's for long-term water supply planning. It looks at water use efficiency measures and quantifying water savings from those measures. It currently has a requirement for a water shortage contingency plan, which is a new requirement I'll get into. And it has you look at all of your possible water sources, including potential recycled water or recharged water, water you could potentially use to offset irrigation, things like that. And it is required to maintain eligibility with grants and loans, as I have on the bottom bullet. It's also required as part of service area boundary modifications when you're going through LACO for service area adjustments, and you need a water supply assessment, which is what's contained within the Urban Water Management Plan. Moving on to slide 5. This is just a table of contents of what the plan will have, adhering to the requirements of Department of Water Resources. The first and second section are really just how, you know, describing the plan and how it's being prepared. And it's important because the preparation of the plan involves coordination and outreach, and that's a part of what I'll talk about with our schedule. The rest of it, sections 3 through 10, 3 through 9, I would say, are more of the technical parts of the water supply and water reliability, where we get our water from, how we comply with conservation requirements, which is referred to as the SBX 7-7. We have to report on our baseline use and our targets. To describe our supplies, we have to, in this plan, develop a reliability assessment. We have to develop a shortage contingency plan, and we have to identify the ways that we manage our demand, the ways that we try to reduce consumption. I'm going to move on to slide 6. This is a brief bulleted listing of the new requirements. There are many new requirements for 2020, but these were kind of the most important ones to present here. And the very top one is a water shortage contingency plan. And the reason I'm calling that one out is because what makes it unique is it actually is a separate plan that needs to be adopted separately by the board. And from there, that plan then gets integrated into the Urban Water Management Plan. So it's kind of a two-step adoption process this time because of this requirement for a water shortage contingency plan to be separately adopted and then integrated into the urban water management plan. I'm going to move on to the next slide, slide 7. And I'm going to talk about this water shortage contingency plan. It is a document that's going to provide the supplier, you as the district, with an action plan for a drought or a catastrophic supply shortage. It's going to identify the actions that are implemented in the event of water shortages, and that's pretty much that. It'll be an action plan for the district to follow if there are severe water shortages. And as I mentioned, it's going to be integrated into the urban water management plan. And it's only a document that comes into play when there are shortages. I think I've already said that. All right. Slide 8. These are the elements of the water shortage contingency plan, items 1 through 12. There's no need to really get into those details right now because we're not actually presenting the water shortage plan tonight, just giving you kind of the overview of generally what it is and what to expect. So I'm going to slide right on to slide 9, which is the schedule. And this is what we want everybody to be aware of tonight on this December meeting, so that you have a sense of what is going to be coming in the first half of 2021 for adopting both of these plans. This is a bar showing December through July, we should all be looking at. And on the top is the adoption process. And on the bottom is more of our coordination and outreach process. So starting tonight, December 15th, we're giving you this overview and letting you know what's coming. In January, on the January 20th board meeting, we'll be presenting a draft water shortage contingency plan. Information only. There won't be any recommended actions to take place. We really just want to use that meeting as a way to explain to everybody what it is, what's inside of it, and make sure to bring everybody up to speed, really. And the plan is to then come into the February 17th meeting following month to bring it for review and adoption. From there, we would then be able to implement it into the urban water management plan, coming to you again in April for a presentation. Again, presentation only in April, no decisions or actions. And we would be presented for the draft urban water management plan. And the following month, in May, bring it back for review and adoption. And the reason we broke these two out into a presentation one month and then a public hearing the next month is really to give everybody the opportunity to learn about what these are, learn about, you know, why it's important, get any sort of comments or feedback, and make those changes, and then bring it the next hearing as a document that's been reviewed, embedded, and for adoption. So on the bottom bar is where we'll be bringing this for notification. It's required that both of these are made public 14 days prior to the meeting to review and adopt. So the dates there are based on the scheduled hearings for review and adopt to make these plans publicly available on the town's website, and notice is made in a newspaper 14 days in advance of the meeting in two newspaper advertisements. And then on January 26th, we're having a 60-day notice. And what that is a notice that goes to the county. It is required that for any county or city in which we serve water, which for us is the county of Contra Costa, that we notify them that we're going to be reviewing and adopting the plan at least 60 days prior to the meeting to review and adopt it. So this is, and the due date for the urban water management plan is July 1st, 2021. And with our schedule, we'll be submitting it by May 26th. The next slide is questions, and that concludes that summary and overview.
Is there any clarifying questions from the board? Any public comments?
We're going to no public comment, Chair.
Thanks, Andy. Hearing none, we'll close public comments. Justin, thank you. Good presentation, and I guess we'll see you again next month.
Very good, thank you.
We'll go to business and action items. Number one, bring up staff for that.
Yes, thank you, Board. As you are aware, on this item, we're asking that you approve Resolution 2020-28 to amend the bylaws. Currently, it requires directors to sign checks. This poses an issue sometimes where we have to issue checks at the last minute, and trying to get two directors in, sometimes in their pajamas, down to the main office to do this has been an issue. And so what we would have done, and we've consulted with legal on this, is to change the bylaws to allow two district officials that consist of either the general manager, the assistant general manager, the finance manager, or a member of the district board of directors who would require those signatures from those entities to be on the check. So it expands it a little bit. And that resolution allows for that amendment to the bylaw, which is actually under Article 7 in the bylaws. So with that, are there any questions? This is common with other districts to allow those signers on the check.
I'd like to hear from legal.
Sure. Okay. This is Andy, everybody.
Yeah.
I worked with Mike on this.
I was going to say, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We can hear you now.
Excellent. Thank you. Any questions that you've got? Happy to answer, but this is fairly common, and I don't remember exactly. I've got some emails as to why we went to the format that we had, but this is not an uncommon format, and your board actions are what give the authorization for executing checks, paying bills, and things like that. And so once you do that, doesn't really matter, in my opinion, who signs the checks. But we've got two individuals. We're just expanding it a bit and allowing a little flexibility so they can make payments on time.
Thank you.
Anyone else? With that, then, I will open up to public comments.
We're showing no activity, Chair.
Hearing none, I'll close public comments and bring it back to the board for action.
I'd like to motion to adopt the resolution 2020-28.
Second.
Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Action item number two.
Okay, we're going to bring back our water engineer, Justin Cho, for the report on this. Thank you. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Still here. Let me just fix my headset. Okay, so this discussion item is for discussion possible action to increase the budget for filter maintenance and repairs at the Willow Lake and Newport Drive water treatment plants. A correction to make here is the agenda title is there is no recommendation to award to the lowest responsive bidder, and I'll explain why that is. We embarked on a repair and replacement program for two filters at the water treatment plants. The district has a total of five filters, and they were all installed about 15 to 20 years ago. They were showing signs of wear, and they were in the production rates going down, and the backwash performance indicating that the media needs to be replaced. So it was put on a CIP program for media replacement by the LDF a couple years ago. I don't remember exactly which year, but it was on previous CIP, and the intention was to replace media. As we began to look into the project further, we realized some inspections were warranted, as typically these filters would have the media replaced every 10 years, and in this case, it's been the same original media in service for 15 plus years. And when we take the media out, it's kind of an extensive process. So at the same time, we would look for any other repairs that might need to be made at that time, so we can put it back in service for another minimum 10-year run. So we did conduct inspections. We found that the coating on the outside needs to be replaced, and there's some other issues, such as a small hole in one of the filter vessels that needs to be repaired. And when we look at the package that we would send to bidders, we asked them for the costs for everything that might be needed, including the replacement of internal piping, which could potentially be reused if found to be in good condition once we take it out of service and remove the media. But we need to have that cost in place in case it's not, in case it is needed and the decision needs to be made in real time. So that's what we did. We did the inspections and put a bid together, bid package together. This project would be ran through Veolia. And Veolia will be the ones who are contracting with the selected contractor. And that's why there isn't an action here to award. The district won't be awarding. We assisted in terms of preparing a repair program that we feel addresses all the issues that we want to address on the filter to bring it back in service, obtaining those costs. And then from there, Veolia would engage with the lowest responsive bidder. What we received were two bids from companies that are have the qualifications and expertise specifically with filter repairs. We reached out to several contractors, but two of them responded, and these are the two that I think had the most experience directly relevant to this type of work, and were also responsible to the schedule. So for us, we would like to have all five filters in service during the summer. So when we go to take them offline and do these repairs, it's most important to try to do them during the fall and winter months. So we do have tight time frames on our schedules, and that's what at least had one of the contractors shied away from it. And looking at the cost from Lowcrest of $402,700, they were the lowest cost that we received. This is for the full list of items that would be needed to replace all of the internal piping and coating and repairing and bringing it back into service. There is a possibility that we would go in and find we can reuse components or possibly not have to recoat the lining of the inside of the vessel, which is happens to be one of the pricier items, but we just don't know until we take it out of service and inspect it. So what the CIP budget, as I indicated before, was $218,000, which is based on, and then it was based on a media replacement project. But what we're looking at is more of a complete repair program to bring it back into service for a good long run. So we're requesting consideration to make monies available from the infrastructure repair fund in the amount of $275,000 to conduct the repairs, the full suite of repairs on both filters, and provide a little bit of contingency just in the event that there are other potential unknowns that come about when we empty out the filters. So that's the item that's before you tonight.
Do you have any clarifying questions, guys?
I have one. So I just want to understand the process, and like, I apologize, I'm coming to the end of it, but doing the inspections is what was the indicator that we needed to do more work, or what? I mean, that's almost double what the original budget was. So I'm just curious, what was the indicator to indicate that we needed to spend more money? And was that something that we could have maybe done at the beginning of it when we were looking at replacing the media based on the age of it?
Would you like me to answer that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can guess.
Okay.
Yes, please.
It's always good to ask. Yes. I guess for some context, initially, we've been meeting a lot with the staff on all of the CIP projects, even ones that Veolia is running. And on this particular project, we didn't want to just proceed as a media replacement project you know, potentially could be just a media replacement project. But once we put all our heads together, we really you know, felt that addressing all of the items in a program. So to answer your question, you know, in retrospect, if at the beginning we said what are all of the items that would be required, we would have come up with a different budget versus just coming in and replacing the media. Now keep in mind, this is your first, you have five filters, and this is the first time these filters are getting the media replaced. So, you know, it's not something that has been done before within the district. So I think just once we put our heads together, we got a clear idea of what needs to be done. The inspections were also helpful because, well, we identified the thickness of the steel and the condition of the steel. We identified a hole in one of the vessels from this survey that was done, and developed a, you know, well, looked at the coating and realized from our coating expert, coating expert did the inspection, who said, yes, this really should be recoated. This shouldn't just be overcoated or patched up or anything like that. We should really bring it down to steel again and recoat it.
Hey, Justin, this is Kevin.
So,
Justin, I thought we had, now, we have a very interesting situation going where the two people that were on the Water Wastewater Committee are no longer here. So the rest of us are a little bit out of the loop, but I was on that committee for 10 years. And I thought we talked about this media replacement years ago, didn't we? This is the three filters at Willow Lake and the two over at Newport, correct?
Oh, you know what? I have the media in these filters, you know what? I think actually when Virgil was here, and I wasn't involved in those, but I think that there was a filter that had media replaced, if not two.
Okay, that's fine. As long as my memory
was done on those, that was all that was done. Thanks for that clarification. That's correct. There, I think there was a filter or two that had media
two at Willow Lake
replaced, but it wasn't these two.
Well, it was two at Willow Lake, two of the original ones, because we had to take them out of service in series or something like that, so we didn't cause a water short. We had to do it during a low time. I can't remember it all. It was years ago. But if that's what our inspection calls for, anyway, I guess you should go to public comment. I don't have any more clarifying questions. Thanks, Justin.
With that being said, I'll open up for public comments.
I'm showing no activity on the lines, Chair.
All right, then I will close public comments and bring it back to the board.
I have a question for staff. We're going to pull that out of what account? Julie, Dina, somebody? We're pulling that out of our
infrastructure replacement funds.
Where do you have your, do you know what the numbers are on that? How much we have in that fund and how much we're going to deplete?
I don't have the numbers on me, but okay. I can let you know. Right. But we're going to be pulling it out of the infrastructure replacement funds. And if at the end of the year there are more monies that we put into reserves, we might not have to. So it's just our plan is to pull them out of that fund, that account. If we don't have to, then we won't.
So it fits into
that's
our
why we have that.
It fits into our rate structure at this point because we have the reserves to do it,
correct?
Okay, that's my concern.
Okay, well, brought back
move,
to the board.
Move for staff recommendation.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Couture?
Aye. Motion carries. Business and action items number 3, Willow Lake.
Hey, Justin, I think you have the show again.
Hope he's still there.
I want to hear this one.
I can take it, Justin, if you'd like. Oh, Mike, if you could leave this one, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, this is Mike. These are special projects.
Yeah, we're a tag team here. So for those of you who haven't met me before, my name's Mike Duraca, and Mike Davies hired me almost 2 years ago to be the project manager for the Town of Discovery Bay, so I am an employee of yours. Very happy to be helping the town on projects like this.
So back in 2019, the water line underneath Willow Lake, between Willow Lake Court and Laguna Court, failed. And we've been working to come up with a solution to that pipe that goes underneath the lake. And we settled on a project where we would actually do what's called horizontal directional drilling, where we drill underneath the lake a new 8-inch water line. And as Justin Little-Pascal-Manini finished up the design, middle of this year, we then got quotes from contractors, and we came in at about $310,000, where we had previously estimated we would be at about $253,000, as the staff report said. But in the meantime, the water line between Marlin and the marina underneath the river out there, it failed. And so as we were coming up with a solution to repair that, which the solution we're settling on is to actually do a liner project where we pull a liner, a new, almost like a fire hose, inside the existing pipe that's failed. And that pipe that's failed, by the way, has a lot of pinholes in it that we discovered. And it's really not worth reusing that pipe as a water line. It's going to continue to fail. So as we were coming up with the solution, that particular solution to fix the Marlin Marina pipeline, we took a step back and said, now, wait a minute, this is a pretty economical solution. Let's see if we can apply that solution to the Little Lake pipeline. And we did get some quotes to do that repair. And if we do both repairs at the same time, there's a huge discount because the contract would only need to mobilize one. So it's still, pardon the pun, a bit of a fluid situation as to exactly what process we feel is the most economical for the Willow Lake pipeline. And so the action before the board tonight is to authorize the general manager to execute any and all contracts and documents necessary to repair the broken Willow Lake and Marina water lines with a new 8-inch water line utilizing either horizontal directional drilling or lining the pipeline for a total cost not to exceed $900,000. The budget we have for both of these projects is $1 million. And so we feel very confident that we can make both repairs with the $900,000. So along with that, in order to comply with CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, we have attached to your staff report a resolution approving the project and adopting the notice of exemption that we would then file with the county clerk as required by CEQA. So that in a nutshell is how we have arrived to where we are. It's basically the bottom line is we're trying to be as efficient as possible with the town's money to repair these pipelines as economical as possible.
Mike, what's the time? What kind of a timeline are you looking at to get started and be completed with these projects?
We're honing in on possibly spring coming up.
To start or to finish?
If we go with the liner project, well, let's see. Let's just say start sometime early spring and but finish sometime middle spring.
Okay, so it won't run into our, I mean, the goal is to get this done before we have the high demand months, correct?
You are absolutely correct.
Okay. So, go ahead.
I just have a question. Not being familiar at all with these projects, how will it disrupt the area around the repairs and will we need to notify the public? Will it impact our townspeople at all?
Yes, we will definitely be notifying the public. On the Willow Lake and the Laguna pipelines, that we are in an easement, a 10-foot wide easement that goes through private property, and we will definitely be notifying the homeowners well in advance of any construction activity. And the same on the other side, the Marlin goes through private property, and on the marina, we were fortunate in that we're at the top of the levee, the bank there, where it's just vegetation only, so that side should not be too difficult.
And that's in terms of construction, I don't believe that we'll have, nobody's water service will be disrupted during this time period. If it is, it would be for a short period of time.
That's correct.
Mike Brangatel, I got just a question maybe for my, not only for myself, but for the rest of the board to understand. These two projects, is this the first of many that we expect with the aging infrastructure that we have? I mean, what percentage do these two projects represent? Is this two pipes out of 100 pipes that we have to potentially deal with, or do you have any kind of semblance of a...
Right, so that's a great question, and the board has approved an asset management program that Lupus Caminini and Veolia and staff are working on right now with data collection. And we actually have in your rate study a lot of money budgeted for things of this nature. And there are 11 waterline crossings. What we're going to do is try and get some cathodic protection on those waterline crossings to help prevent them from corroding any further, extend their useful life. So those are the next steps that we're taking for not only these undercrossings, but the entire water system for the town.
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong here, but for the benefit of, we have three relatively new members on the board, the entire water system is a connected system. It's a big loop. Well, we've lost that loop now, which puts us at risk of not, on a peak day in the summer, it might put us at risk of not being able to provide the water we need to the areas we need to have it. So all these water crossings are because we're in a big loop. They're all connected, they're all pressurized, and that keeps our fire hydrants where they need to be, and that keeps we have a single day demand number that we have to reach, and that's why this is critically important to get done this spring before we get into a high demand time. Even if we never had to have it, the state requires it of us. Am I correct, Mike?
Yes, especially as you pointed out for fire flow. Most, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Right. That's the critical part.
Let's go ahead and open up to public comments. And
showing no activity on the lines, Chair.
Hearing none, we'll close public comments and bring back the board for action.
I make a motion that we save $100,000.
I second. Go for it. It's all yours.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President
Graves?
Aye.
President
Gatto? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
Item four.
Thank you.
Yes, I would ask, is Parks and Landscape Manager Bill Engelman on the line? Okay. So this item is to approve the notice of completion and final payment for the pickleball courts at the community center. When we have contractors out doing public works projects, there's a retention that we retain until all the punch lists are done, and we feel that the project is completed, and we believe that all the items on the punch list are done, the project's completed, so we would like your approval to issue the final payment and file that notice of completion.
Is Monica happy?
I'm very happy. Very happy.
Okay.
Yeah. They're great. That's great. Thank you.
Do we have any public comments?
We're showing no action on the lines, Chair.
Okay, and then we'll bring it back to the board for action.
I'll make a motion to approve completion of the pickleball courts.
I'll second that.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. And the pickleball courts are gorgeous, so congratulations, Monica and Bill, for getting that.
And they're being used.
And they're being used.
Thank you. They are.
Item G, do we have manager reports?
Yes, we do. I just wanted to report to the board under item number one. We had approved the current system was that employees self-funded their 457B retirement, and the board graciously committed to the employees that they would be do an up to $5,000 match with third vesting, with full vesting at year three. We have set that up with a new company, and how that works is the employee actually contributes to the 457B as they normally do, and then there's a separate employer plan called a 401A, and that will take effect January 1st.
Great. Hopefully they'll use it.
Hopefully so. The next item, item two, is I wanted to bring to the board's attention, there seems to be some movement with Newport Point Development. I know that was on the list when I first started here 4 years ago. But what we've actually got is at the last meeting of LAFCO, they approved a sphere of influence for us to acquire influence over that property, and then in their January meeting, they will actually put it within our jurisdiction, move our jurisdictional boundaries to include that segment. So I wanted to update the board on that information.
It's good news.
That's my report.
60-something units? What's it?
67.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. Any correspondences? Nope. Do we have any future agenda items from any board members?
Not at this time for me.
Then with that, I will turn this back over to legal so they could bring us into closed session.
Thank you. The Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors is adjourning into closed session for the item listed on the agenda as K1. We are not anticipating, and not even not anticipating, we're not expecting any reportable action coming out of closed session. If you are interested in hearing any reportable action, should there be any, if you could state your name and we'll take down your phone number and I can give you a call back. Otherwise, the meeting would be adjourned as soon as we return from closed session. As I said, we're not expecting any reportable action.